Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And just a quick warning before we go much further, we're going to be talking about teen suicide in this segment, and therefore it may not be appropriate for all listeners. And we're having this conversation because of the Netflix series 13 Reasons Why.
Settle in, because I'm about to tell you the story of my life. More specifically, why my life ended. And if you're listening to this tape, you're one of the reasons why.
Well, the show centers around a high school junior named Hannah Baker. You heard her voice there. She takes her own life and leaves behind a set of cassette tapes that tell her story and names all the people whose actions she says led to her death. Now, the show has had a huge response, lots of talk about it on social media, but even more concern from parents, school officials, adolescent counselors, and even some teens who worry that the show glamorizes suicide. School districts around the country and here in Massachusetts have sent letters to parents to be aware of the program and to watch it with their teens if they allowed their children to watch it at all. So joining me now with some perspective is Larry Berkowitz. He's director and co-founder of Riverside Trauma Center and a teaching associate in psychology at Harvard Medical School. He's a licensed psychologist in Massachusetts who works extensively on suicide issues. Larry Berkowitz, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Meghna. Great to be here.
Also with us from Los Angeles is Dr. Rebecca Hedrick. She's a child psychiatrist at Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles, and she consulted on 13 Reasons Why. Rebecca Hedrick, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you both. And listeners, I want to let you know, I mean, have you seen 13 Reasons Why? Did you get a letter from your school district kind of alerting you to this Netflix series? And what'd you think of that? What'd you think of the series? Students, if you've watched the show, let us know what you think. Do you worry that it glamorizes teen suicide? Or is it getting people talking about it, which is potentially even more important? Call us with your thoughts at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also send me a tweet at Radio Boston. Larry and Rebecca, I first of all just want to get your quick thoughts about this concern that has gelled around 13 Reasons Why. I mean, Larry, let's start with you because you've worked extensively on these issues here in Massachusetts. Do you worry that this show could do harm?
I'm very worried about it, and as are many of the people in the suicide prevention community. I do want to back up and say I've watched it. I think there are many compelling storylines. There's a compelling narrative to it. And yes, there are many important issues that are raised that need to be discussed with adolescents. But there are over 50 studies that have looked at the ways in which media portrays suicide. And we know from research that there are some ways in which suicide is portrayed that increases the risk of future suicides, both nonfiction and fictional accounts of suicide. And some of what we saw in this particular series actually crossed those lines and could, for vulnerable people, actually increase risk. So we're quite worried about it.
Okay. Well, Rebecca Hedrick, before I ask you to respond to Larry, just for clarification's sake, can you tell us the specifics around how you consulted or what exactly you did for the show?
Sure. So I read the book and gave some commentary to the writers on some of the things that were quite accurate and some of the things that maybe weren't so accurate. And then also I met with three of the actors individually for one-on-one sessions to help them get more into their characters, including Catherine Langford, who plays Hannah, the star, Alicia Bow, who plays Jessica, and Justin Prentice, who plays Bryce.
Okay. So respond then to what Larry Berkowitz said. And then let me just add a little bit to what he said, because there's been a great deal of concern about the series. I'm looking at something from the National Association of School Psychologists, and they've advised teenagers, you know, anyone who may be struggling with depression or had suicidal thoughts, to avoid the series entirely for all the reasons that Larry Berkowitz says, the concern about how suicide is portrayed. What's your response to that?
So I certainly understand the concerns and am aware of the valid fear that suicide is contagious, especially among teenagers. But the hard truth is that there was a CDC study that shows that 9% of high school students have actually attempted suicide in the past year, which is very unsettling. And there's a huge stigma against talking about depression and suicide. And I think that this universal and understandable fear of discussing it for fear of this contagion has actually contributed some to the stigma against talking about it, which contributes further to the suicide rate.
Okay. We've got a lot of calls here already, people who want to talk about this. So let me go to one of them. Tiffany is calling from Boxford. You're on the air, Tiffany.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. What's your thought?
I read the book. I had both my teenage daughters read it. I've seen the show, and one of my daughters is in the process of watching it. And I think while some of the scenes in it are graphic, I think it's more focused on the teenagers and how their actions have consequences. And I think it's a really good thing to get teenagers to start thinking about beyond themselves, thinking about how their actions have consequences for others. I think it starts a great conversation, and I think sexual assault and suicide are violent, graphic acts, and I don't think we should hide that. I think we should talk to our kids.
Right. Tiffany, thank you so much for your call. Larry Berkowitz, there, parent saying it's getting kids to talk.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more with Tiffany that it's important for parents to be able to talk about these issues, to raise them. I don't for a minute say we shouldn't raise those, and I agree with Rebecca that we need to be talking about it. It's the ways in which we talk about it that's important. The series, there's some issues that we know, like graphic portrayals of suicide could increase risk. There are no instances in this story of people who solve problems in a healthy way. None of the young people turn to a trusted adult to get help. Tiffany's example is great. Absolutely. For a parent to be engaged and involved in talking with her children, that's what we want to see more of, for sure.
Well, I want to play a little bit of tape here because you mentioned the graphic portrayal of suicide in the series. We have a comment here from series creator Brian Yorkey. This is actually from a special extra episode that's been attached to the 13 episodes in the series. And show creators, producers, and consulting mental health professionals talked about central issues in the show. And here's what Brian Yorkey had to say about how the actual suicide was portrayed in 13 Reasons Why.
We had a number of people ask us along the way why we had Hannah kill herself in the way we did and why we showed it. We worked very hard not to be gratuitous, but we did want it to be painful to watch because we wanted it to be very clear that there is nothing in any way worthwhile about suicide.
Rebecca Hedrick, respond to that.
Yeah, I find that a lot of the people that are concerned that the show romanticizes suicide, especially among the teenagers who may experience it that way, may be the very teenagers who need help. One of my very vulnerable patients who, to be honest, I would probably not have recommended that she watch the show, did watch it and told me that after watching it, she was never going to threaten suicide again. So I feel like the conversation that is happening, my hope is that it's actually going to end up saving lives.
Larry Berkowitz?
I think the ways in which it could help, we could see that it's saving lives, and this is where we'd hope that Netflix could take a stronger role, is when if there were are more messages accompanying the series about how and where people can get help, more messages about where they could call, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number, things like that, and more examples of how young people get help. I think that episode 14 was really helpful and important.
That bonus episode.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But I don't know how many young people actually watched that or how many adults watched that. And also, one of my concerns is how many young people we've been hearing about who have watched the series, but their parents had no idea they were even watching it. They watch it on their phones and they're, outside of the viewing of their parents. So for those vulnerable people, the question is, how do we engage them in the conversation in a careful and meaningful way?
Yeah. So, I mean, of course, this is a work of fiction. It's a dramatic series. But one of the things that I came away with that concerned me more than a little was the whole sort of structure of the show. I mean, it's built around this idea that Hannah, the young woman who takes her own life, ultimately exacts some kind of revenge or that some kind of justice is served through the passing around of these tapes. But she has to die in order for that revenge to be or that justice to have happened. And I that's the entire premise of the show. And it, I feel like, is that a concerning part to you, Larry Berkowitz?
Absolutely, Meghna. Part of the message of the show is that suicide is a way to teach people a lesson, to seek revenge. And that's a dangerous message, I think. One of the characters, Clay, I think does a nice job. He has a little bit of a moral compass here. He's trying to figure out different ways of dealing with this and going to people and trying to deal with it. But I don't think we saw enough of that in this series.
Rebecca Hedrick, what's your thought of that?
I think that, again, the conversations that are happening about this show are going to be crucial. I think they did a good job of showing that no character is all good. None of them are all bad, except probably for Bryce. But I think that understanding that Hannah made a decision to exact revenge and to create a permanent solution to a temporary problem are things that need to be talked about and discussed between teenagers with themselves and then also with their parents to be able to talk about why were these things not skillful? What are some things that maybe Hannah could have done differently? I think these are important conversations.
Well, let's take another call here. David's calling from Lynn. You're on the air, David.
Hi. I'm a teacher. I'm a middle school teacher in Lynn. I have some students who actually have talked to me about having seen this show. And having watched it myself on Netflix, now I think they're also the kind of students who didn't watch with their parents either, so this connects to what you guys were talking about earlier. My main problem with the show, personally, is that while there's 13 people to blame for the problems and the tragedy that involves, not enough is actually talked about with the girl herself. Very little blame at any point is put on the main character, if you get what I'm saying.
Well, actually, I'm not sure I do get what you're saying. What do you mean by blame wasn't put on the main character?
Like, so the 13 reasons, right? The idea of the person who actually committed the suicide herself, there's no real, I don't know how to say it without sounding very insensitive, and I don't mean to sound insensitive about it, but a lot of my kids, at no point were they talking about Hannah herself. It was always about why this kid was at fault for her suicide, or that person was at fault for their suicide. And nobody was really asking the questions. My kids, at least, were not asking the questions about Hannah herself.
Okay. Okay. David, thank you so much for your call. Larry Berkowitz, before I turn to you, let me just play another piece of tape here from a young person who spoke to PBS about this. Because I think it's a thought along the same lines. This is Zoe. She's a student in Fraser, Michigan. She watched the series and told the PBS NewsHour what she thought about it last Tuesday.
I feel like there's a lot of younger audiences who watch it and that they watch it and they get the wrong idea that maybe suicide is okay or suicide is romantic or maybe if I kill myself, there will be a boy somewhere who turned out to be in love with me. It shows the pain that others are suffering, but it doesn't really address the fact that Hannah's dead.
It's that part right there, yeah. Larry Berkowitz. What do you think of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Zoe really got it. And David, you raise an interesting question that we often say when someone's died by suicide, how could they have done that to us? Wouldn't they know how that would impact us? But I think the bits we know about the suicidal state of mind, which really comes from people who've survived suicide attempts, who've had the lived experience and can tell us what that horrible anguish is about. It's about that anguish, about intense psychological pain. And usually in those moments, people are really... It's rare to have that sense of revenge. Usually what we're hearing from people is they feel like people wouldn't miss them, that people would be better off without them. They're not making a rational choice in that moment and really thinking through like their options. It's more that they're beyond being able to think through clearly their action.
Rebecca Hedrick, what's your thought on that? That the show maybe doesn't go far enough to explore, Hannah's choice to begin with.
Well, I think that's the very nature of the show is that it's coming from her perspective. And so I think we're seeing a glimpse into the repercussions very shortly after the suicide where people haven't maybe gotten to the point of processing their own anger towards her and their own disappointment in her and disappointment in her choices and in her ability to be able to communicate those choices.
Yeah. You know, there's also something about I feel as if a message, and this may not be intentional at all, but is that can someone who is determined to end their own life be stopped, right? Because there's a scene where I think it's Clay who asks a school counselor if he could have done more to help Hannah. And the counselor tells him if she wanted to end her life, we weren't going to stop her. I mean, Rebecca Hedrick is, it seems like there's a fatalism that the show's talking about.
I mean, I think that there certainly are some patients that are in some individuals who are in such a state of despair that there isn't anything anyone can do to stop them. But it certainly is a myth, I think, in general society that if someone's going to do it, they're going to do it. I think that relying on what Mr. Porter, the school counselor, is saying as something valid is not necessarily a good idea. He's not portrayed as a hero character either. And so, you know, the truth is that suicides can be prevented. People can change their mind, and it does require people reaching out to them and most importantly, making sure if there's any warning signs of suicide that they've restricted any lethal means, making sure guns and pills are out of their reach and out of their that they're not able to get them.
Right. Larry Berkowitz, your thought?
Yeah, I would totally agree with Rebecca on that. Again, you know, a lot of the information we have about this is from people who survived suicide attempts. And what they often tell us is if they could have thought of any other way at that time, they would have chosen that over death. Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably 98-99% of people would love to find some other way of dealing with their challenges and problems. And that's why we need good examples of people who've gotten through crises, who've survived terrible psychological pain. And we need to make sure people have access to helpful, supportive adults around them for the young people and, you know, access to phone numbers and chat lines where they can get support and help.
Well, let's take another call here. Jamie's calling from Needham. You're on the air, Jamie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling. What's your thought?
I'm glad that people are talking about this. I'm a single dad. I've got three teenagers in the Needham school system, all who have dealt with depression, with self-harm, with suicidal ideations. You know, I've been working with the Riverside Trauma Team for over 4 years now, working with all three of my kids. And I see their friends groups, and I see how extensive the depression and the hopelessness is with so many teenagers. I mean, I hear about, you know, attempted suicides on a monthly basis. And there are successful suicides in our town on a regular basis the last several years.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that it's taken this long for people to be talking about it at this level. I'm glad that people are. I haven't watched the show. I probably won't. I've talked with my kids about it. I don't know if they will or not.
Jamie, forgive me for
talking.
Yeah, forgive me for interrupting. But if I just may ask one quick question to you, given your personal experience and the fact that you said that, you know, once a month there's a young person in your circle who's challenged by this. I mean, I know you haven't seen the show, but are you concerned about the impact that the show could have on others if there's so much vulnerability out there?
Yes, absolutely. I'm concerned with that. But I also think that the fact that this exists now, that this show is there and it's making people talk, is a really important step. You know, people don't talk about this. I've tried talking with you know, parents around me that some really want to be engaged and some are really engaged in trying to help their kids. And others are in such complete denial that this exists around them. And it's somebody else's kids, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's your kids and it's my kids. It's all of our kids are dealing with this.
Jamie,
no matter how stable you think your kids are, they're all dealing with huge levels of trauma in their lives.
Yeah. Jamie, thank you so very much for your call. And we hope only the very best for your entire family. Thank you so much. Dr. Rebecca Hedrick, let me ask you, Jamie brings up an excellent point about getting kids to talk to adults, to talk to parents, to talk to counselors. The adults in 13 Reasons Why aren't, you know, you said it yourself, they're not necessarily heroes at all. They're not portrayed as people that are worthy of the trust of teens. So how do we get kids to talk more to people around them who could help?
Well, I think it starts with parents. And Often parents find it difficult to talk to their teenagers. Teenagers can be moody even if they're not clinically depressed. And they also are trying to establish their autonomy and independence, so it may be difficult. But just to let them know, hey, have you seen the show? Or, hey, I've noticed that you're sleeping a lot more or your grades are falling. I'm worried about you. Can you tell me, help me understand what's going on? So just opening up the dialogue in a non-judgmental way and letting them know that they are there for them to listen, I think that's the first, those are the first steps.
Larry Berkowitz?
Yeah, Rebecca's suggestion that parents trying to communicate with kids is important. Sometimes we all know, if those of us who've lived with adolescents, they won't always talk to us. So I think one of the questions also becomes, who else could you talk to say to our kids, so who are other adults you trust at school? Are there people, the counselors, the nurse, a coach, a math teacher? Who else? An aunt, an uncle, somebody outside of school? And to Jamie's point, I'm sorry his family's struggling, but boy, the community of Needham, where he lives now, is an example in Massachusetts of a community that's really taken this issue on. They have a local coalition for suicide prevention. Their high school has a phenomenal program called Own Your Peace, where the students are working together on finding solutions and having dialogues about this. It's hard, and we need to keep finding safe and successful ways to talk about it.
So we just have a couple seconds left. Larry, you know, given the nature of this conversation, for folks listening who may need some help or want to reach out for help, is there a number they should call, a place they should go?
There's lots of great resources. Hopefully you can post some on your
website.
But the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is a great place. American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, the Suicide Resource Center, Samaritans. There are a lot of great places to look for information online.
Okay.
And the Lifeline is 800-273-TALK.
800-273-TALK. Okay, so we'll put links to all of that at our website, radioboston.org. Larry Berkowitz, director of the Riverside Trauma Center, thank you so very much.
Thanks so much for this conversation, Meghna.
And Rebecca Hedrick, child psychiatrist at Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles and a consultant on 13 Reasons Why, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.